Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome to Love Live Rock Remnant Reality Radio's Ruach Reflections, RIP 2.0. I am Shaliach Scribe, and I am ecstatic that you are here. I apologize for being a little late. It has been a very, very full day, which normally happens when you get out of the rack around 4:30 in the morning. Things don't fall through the cracks, but you feel like you need to try to refill them anyway. So here we are. Let's start with Crowder and Forever and Ever. Here you go. And that was the David Crowder Band, Forever and Ever, to kick off RIP 2.0, Ruach Reflections, the Nightly Doers of the Word Love Fellowship Gathering, where inquiring minds want to know, were you the devourer or the devouree today? Were you in the Ruach HaKodesh or your own yuck of flesh feeding the adversary? As I said earlier, I am Scribe, President of Emulators MC, Shaliach Havahava, your special guest, Yajay, tonight. We're still praying for Mike the Spike. We hope he'll make his quick return. But until that happens, let's get to it. We start each podcast at 7:07 Pacific Standard Time, 9:07 Central, 10:07 Eastern. If you'd like to join on the call, just dial 727-731-3257. No access code needed. Again, 727-371-3257, and you're in. If you're new, we hope this resonates with you and that you'll keep coming back, because there is change here. True change. Real change. Change that is as old as time. Transformational change. Change for me. Change for you. And changing the world for the better. So hallelujah. We are going to move into our seventh body builder, the Ahava, or love offering. This period in the program is a test for us. It's the one area where Yah says we can test him. And that's in our giving. Ahava Yah is trying to convince us that we cannot outgive him, because it's all his anyway. So these offerings go to support our radio and prison ministries, our Faith Favor Farms, and our houses of worship, and our Yah Building Ministries. We've got a lot going on, and more is being added on a regular basis. The easiest way to do that is simple. Go to give.yahweh.love, and that'll take you to our pay portal, or our PayPal portal, anyway, and you can donate there. Or you can snail mail it, kind of like the Pony Express, to P.O. Box 68138, Phoenix, Arizona, 85082. That'll also allow you to drop a letter, encourage us, send us a little bit of love, and let us know how you're doing. That's a good way to get in personal contact. But again, we are all over the internet, so that part is pretty much covered. Again, that's Love, Inc., P.O. Box 68138, Phoenix, Arizona, 85082. Or probably the simplest way to do it is to text us at 7777-44321. And again, the whole part of this is based around Malachi 3. Where the question is asked each of us personally, would you rob Yah? And if your response is, well, how would we rob you? Yah responds by withholding your tithes and offerings, by not keeping my storehouses full so that it can be used to further expand the ministry by caring for the hurting, homeless, and helpless among us. That's the role that we don't want any mega church. We don't want a big church building. We don't want none of that. This is house to house, just like it was in the New Testament, which was actually written about 90 years after the impalements of Yeshua on the torture stake. So everything that we're going through here poured forth from the Old Testament, the apostles, each of them, only had the original covenant to teach from. So don't kid yourselves thinking that there's something complete starting in the book of Matthew or Matityahu. It's not complete. It's only the last third of the story. It's not being disrespectful. It's not diminishing what Yeshua did on the cross or on the torture stake. That's just truth. So, hallelujah. That having been said, I am Shalak Scribe. I am grateful to be here today. It was a full day. There were ups. There were downs. It was a smorgasbord. And the question we're trying to figure out is, were you the one doing the feasting, or were you the one feasted on? So like I said, I'm grateful for Marissa being here and the growth that we're seeing in her transformation. We're excited to see it continue. We're excited to see the continued expansion of those in attendance on the line. And I'm grateful for the love of everyone here. Hallelujah. With that, if you want to pop in and say hi, if you're already on the line, fantastic. Go ahead and tell us three positive things about yourself. Tell us what you're grateful for. And if you're new and you want to testify, you want to let us know a little bit more, a little bit about yourself, that's fine too. A simple "and I'll pass" will let us know when it's time to move on to the next person. So hallelujah. Who's next? And it looks like it's going to be Marissa.
Hallelujah. Today I am in house recovery, and I'm thankful that things are getting somewhere, as I have been doing some counsel, and I realized that a lot of it was on my part, as I was having to go through a lot of prayer and meditation and pushing through those setbacks or strongholds, whatever you want to call it. This I am so overcoming, as I will talk to my brother about later, about strongholds and fleshly things, as I'm learning about each day. And I'm thankful for the time that I've been in prayer and for the word of healing today that I've been in with Yahweh's healing, and I'm just thankful for that. That I can't minimize or try to justify things when I have to give it to Yahweh, and thankful that it's for his glory or Hanan or whatever that word is. As I'm learning about, which would be another fun subject to do someday, is Hebrew learning words. And of course, being thankful for his healing as I look each day to him to learn how to put him first and foremost, especially in my recovery walk, because I'm not going to be doing in-house forever, which my plan is to stay in with Yahweh forever and not go back outside of where Yahweh's promised, as I say, where I'm supposed to be and where I want to keep going, which is a long process from now. So I'm thankful that I can get through those process, and I'm thankful for my brother Mike Spike, as he keeps being on my heart again tonight. That thankful for him, and I just lifting up that special Mike, my special brother Mike, and all of us to you, Yahweh. I'm thankful for our brethren, and I'll pass with that.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Marissa. And it looks like Yami is on the line. Yami, would you like to introduce yourself and say hi?
Hello, it's Yami. I'm a child of the kin, and I'm being taken care of, and he has good plans for me. I'm thankful that no matter what my eyes may see, no matter what my ears may hear, all is yet what is well because Yeshua will take care of me, all of us, and I will pass.
Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Yami. This is a new one for me. This is from the Rend Collective, My Lighthouse.
In my wrestling, in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse.
Again, that was My Lighthouse by Rend Collective. I kind of like that, and I think I'd like it even if I didn't have prospects of becoming a boater. So I managed to come in late, come in very tired, and I managed to mix up 4, 5, 6, and 7. So we're going to call Yami back and ask her if she would be willing to pray clear the line to burn off any hellish imps from the atmosphere, from the surrounding area, from the line, just fry them with the ash from Shamayim. So, Yami, if you could do that for us, that would be greatly appreciated. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Father. We come before you making the request that our brother just spoke. And I'm agreeing that you are the Most High Elohim, and every knee has to bow, every tongue has to confess that you are Yah. And I'm extending the tenth like you told Abraham to. And I extend it to all of our workplaces and all of the people you bring into our path. And, of course, especially to those who come on this line tonight, that Satan, your assignment that you sent against Love Ministry or any of your people are canceled and they're null and void. They will not affect your plan, because so shall it be. Yes and amen. Your plan for this evening is going to, in the process of being accomplished. And Father, our prayer is that you can say to us, well done. And we want to be those good and faithful servants that can stand before you and see your face smile upon us. And Father, we are among your sheep. We are your people. And you have the keys to the kingdom, and you've shared that key with us. And we thank you, first of all, for Yeshua, and then we thank you for all the fruit of your Ruach that come inside of us, for the kingdom of Yah is within us. And it knows no defeat, only we walk with a champion, and we are enjoying the food that feeds the champion, your marvelous word, your training, your Torah. We thank you for your armor also, and we thank you for giving us the power. Hallelujah, the power that raised Yeshua from the dead. And therefore, we are dead, buried, and resurrected with him in the Ruach realm. And we will accomplish the great exploit as you bring them forth. And let tonight be top of that list, because it's happening now. And then let the list continue to grow. And I guess we must say from here to infinity, because this isn't has no end. It is one day at a time, renewing to remind ourselves and to honor you that we are under submission to your plan. And then infinitely, as we go through the changes, death being the last change, the leaving of this earthly body behind and entering into the Ruach body, into what you have for us in your season. Let us walk through all the seasons that you bring in the Ruach realm, and let us please you. Amen.
Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for that, Marissa. I did it again. I did it again. I keep getting you two ladies confused. Boy, I am going to get my butt kicked one of these days. It's not going to be funny.
It's all in the family, brother.
All right. Well, hallelujah. Now that we kind of got that squared away, like I said, I'm tired. It's been a long day, okay? So we're going to go ahead, and in a minute, we're going to have Marissa read 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
4?
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 6.
Okay.
I have not spent a whole lot of time on this passage this morning, but yeah, I was thinking about something. We all know what happened a couple nights ago. It wasn't pretty. It did not reflect real good on the ministry. Because you know, we're talking about a sensitive area, and for whatever reason, when it comes to defects, depending on the situation, we can react with all sorts of fire and anger and animosity towards whoever we deem is responsible for that defect being there. I think without much further explanation, imagine what would happen. Imagine how you'd feel, what you would be inclined to say if you went into a car lot after waiting 6 months to pick up a new car that you just spent $50,000 of your hard-earned money on, and it was your dream car, and all of a sudden you found an 8-inch gash in your dashboard, your driver's side bucket seat was all busted up and leaning all cattywampus, and there were scratches all over the paint. And when you bought this car, when you put money down on it, this was your baby. This was going to be the one. If that were the situation, if those defects were present in that vehicle that you just invested so much of your hard-earned time and money into, you would do everything in your power and maybe even then some to make sure that those defects were corrected. And I'm going to open up the line to anyone right now that wants to call me a liar on that, because that way I can mute you and laugh at the situation. No, seriously, you're not going to convince me that you wouldn't fight to have those defects corrected. So my point being is, why would we fight so hard to correct defects of that type, but not do everything we can, everything we have to, everything we're responsible for, to root out and remove our defects' character? And trust me, I'm not standing on a soapbox. I'm having a really, really, really hard time preaching this message while I'm sitting underneath it, because on this issue right now, that's where I belong. Okay, I'm not doing real well in this area. Okay? But I do know it has to be done, and I am working on it. So, again, as I pass it off to Marissa, we're going to be hearing 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 6. And I'll let you know why I extended it in just a minute. Marissa.
Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 1 through 6. For the rest, then, brothers, we beg you, and we exhort in our Master Yeshua, even as he received from us, how you ought to walk and to please Elohim that you abound more. For you know what commands we gave you through the Master Yeshua. For this is the will of Elohim, your sanctification, for you to abstain from fornication. Each one of you to know to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, even as also the nations do, not knowing Elohim, not to go beyond and to overreach his brother in the matter, because the avenger concerning all these is Elohim, even as we told you before and solemnly testified.
All right. Hallelujah, Marissa. You handled that beautifully. So let's try and pick this apart a little bit and see if we see ourselves in it anywhere. For the rest then, brothers, we beg you and we exhort you. They're down on their hands and knees in front of you saying, come on, man. Get with the program. You know how Yeshua wants us to walk. You know how you received him. You know what condition you were in before you received him as you were coming to him. You know at that point in time it did not please Elohim to see you that way. But you know you were taught, you were trained how to walk before him. And you know the joy that came with it. You know the excitement that came with it. You know the possible material success that came with it, though that is not what this is about. You know that you thrived as you were walking correctly. You know you did. Why would you turn aside from that? For you know what commands we gave you through the Master Yeshua. Probably talking about the Ten Commandments. It's probably talking about thou shalt not eat swine or touch swine. There's a lot of different commandments, 613 in the Old Testament to be exact, and probably quite a few more in the New Testament up to this point. So we knew if they were talking to the synagogue in Thessalonica, and to others that were considering converting, some knowledge may have already been had of Yahweh or other elves, and that was the challenge, because the other elves wouldn't care one way or the other. They'd probably encourage it. El does not. So we need to look at this. We need to, what were we doing before we came into close personal relationship with Yahweh, with Yeshua? What were we doing before we came to a saving knowledge of the suffering he endured for us? For this is the will of Elohim, your sanctification, for you to abstain from fornication. Okay, so here sanctification and fornication are linked, because it would seem as though Paul is addressing the fact that your eyes cause you to walk into fornication if you're not controlling them. You already know that you have good a reason and a solid foundation to control them. Now, again, fornication isn't the, you know, that's just the big one. That's just the one that, you know, that's the door blown off the hinges. It's probably a lot of different little actions that got you to that point. Verse 4, each one of you to know to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Okay, if you're getting to synagogue, getting to temple early, and you're taking advantage of the temple prostitutes before you get there, and they had them, don't kid yourself, it was going on. They actually, the Greeks, the Romans, the Thessalonians, so many different cultures out there believed you could worship Elohim, our Elohim, a Kodesh Elohim, Yahweh himself. They believed that you could worship him through the act of intercourse. Now, if that's not mental perversion, I'm clueless as to what is, and somebody should hang up my phone right now because I probably shouldn't be talking. Each one of you to know to possess his vessel. Your body is a vessel. A vessel carries things. The vessel that is your body carries your Ruach, the image of Yah that dwells within you, that activates you, that empowers you, that keeps you, that sustains you. It is supposed to be sanctified and honorable, not wallowing in passion of lust, even also as the nations do, not knowing Elohim. So our goal as adherents, as Galal Talmudim, as believers, is to be an example to the world around us, an attractive example to the world around us, a magnet to draw the hearts and minds of a lost and dying world into now what could best be described as a mental Eden, if you will. Now let me express that. Let me explain that. A mental or intellectual Eden. Okay? This world, the natural realm that we live in, is by no means perfect. And that doesn't surprise anybody, I'm sure. But if we cannot at this time engender or bring into evidence the likeness of Shamayim as it exists, the likeness of Eden as it exists in Shamayim right now, then the closest we can get is to create that Eden in our minds and in our hearts, and then do everything we can to cultivate that garden, to water that garden, to seed it, to cause it to receive the Torah, to be open, to open it to receiving the Torah, so that everything that is growing up again in that Eden that resembles Eden and Shamayim, because that's what we've been praying for, then we need that Eden to flow out of us. We need that Eden to infect. I don't like the word infect. Overtake the rest of the world. It's kind of like the grapevines that Marissa was helping cut down in the backyard earlier this week. They are completely invasive. They get everywhere. They grow everywhere, and out of control, they can become dangerous. They become a trip hazard. They destroy things because they get into everywhere. Now, that's not, those aren't traits that Yahweh wants his mishpacha to carry. He would much rather have us build the arches and the vines and to direct the growth of these vines so that they can be cultivated, so that the fruit can become useful. Verse 5 again, not in passion of lust, even as also the nations do, not knowing Elohim. 6, not to go beyond and to overreach his brother in the matter, because the avenger concerning all of these is Elohim, even as we told you before and solemnly testified. Now that's the second longest sentence in this passage. And what I'm getting here, and please correct me if I'm off base on this, not to go beyond and to overreach his brother in a matter. Okay? I can use a really, really simple example of how that happened to me today. Okay? Things were going on. We were in a meeting. I got a phone call. Question was asked. The question was answered, and I went on doing what I was doing. But then the call from the same person came in again, and I made a decision. Even as an overseer, I can overreach my position and my authority. Whether it's intentional or not, it can still cause frustrations, and rightly so. So now I need to be cautious and watch where my mind is going. Is it racing? Am I keeping up with it so I can actually make a sound, conscious, wise decision in a matter in that moment? Or am I going to have to deal with some consequences because I wasn't ready to be in that moment at that time, and I did something careless? Second part of that verse. Because the avenger concerning all these is Elohim. Okay. We've got a brother that overreached. We've got a brother that tripped up another brother, or whatever the situation. If it's intentional, that avenging is going to carry a heavier price. It's going to be more difficult to bear. It needs to be so a lesson can be learned and can be taught. If it's unintentional, if it's done in ignorance, it may not be as severe in the long term. But keep your hands off the stove. Come as a child. Don't touch the stove. Don't go near the fire. You're going to get burned. Keep your motives and your intentions simple and pure. And keep your eyes away from the unclean thing, because it's in that, whether it's an actual situation of intercourse with a woman, or just engaging with something you shouldn't be engaging with, it's going to trip you up. And if you keep looking that way and you keep looking that way, then that defect needs to be addressed and removed. Kind of like Yeshua when he said, if your left eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Last half of the verse, the last third anyway, says, even as we told you before, Even as we told you this before. How many times do we have to keep telling you this? How many times did I tell you that? You can almost hear the Kodesh exasperation in Shaul's voice as he wrote this. And close this passage off with, and we solemnly testified. We got serious, we got emotional, we got purposeful, and we testified on all these matters to you before you did it, before we left. Or so you wouldn't do it before we left. And now we come back and here you are doing it again. Why? See, all this leads up to one thing. All this is leading up to one thing. If you continue to stay hard-headed and recalcitrant, Shaul is getting ready to say, look, if you don't knock it off, I'm going to dust my feet off. Because you're no longer receiving the word of Elohim. You're no longer desiring to walk in that understanding. And it's obvious because you've gone back to doing the things you were doing before you came to the loving Hanan of Elohim. What's up, Brandon? Get it together. Now, granted, Brandon probably wasn't a very common name back then, but the imperative still fits. Dude, what's going on? What are you doing? Are you screwing up intentionally, or are you just sick? Let's work on it. So, hallelujah. That was my take on 1 Thessalonians 1. Well, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 6. Again, I know I'm tripping up. I know I've tripped up. And I am by no means comfortable preaching this message specifically, but I am most definitely working on it. Thanks for your time. And with that, I will pass. Who's next?
Hallelujah. I think it's an important message to bring up. I have had my thoughts with some of that in the past, and I still have this. It usually comes in my dreams, which is the lustful spirits or demons, whatever you want to call it. And so I'm still overcoming. I have come a long ways, but they still creep in sometimes. So as I try to fight it in the flesh, they want to try to come in the nighttime, and I know that Yahweh has helped me a lot with the issues. I don't plan on going out and fornicating anytime soon. I plan not to do it at all, but in my dreams, it's beyond my comprehension because I'm sleeping. But I don't engage with those evil spirits in my dreams. It's just weird stuff happening. So, which I will talk to about with someone that is not on the phone call. It's not for me to talk about. For me to talk about right now on the phone, but they can come in different ways. Lusting was fornicating is pretty much it is what it is. But lusting can be in many areas, and not just with lusting after a certain individual or a certain person, but it could do with food or with other addictions, as well as like Well, I know I can't lust too much after food enough to get sick. So I try to do it with my diet in moderation, but if I went out and ate a whole can of muffins, a whole sheet of cookies, then I'd just end up getting sick. So, yeah, my eyes might lust after those. Oh, those look good. Especially when I was at my last job, because we make cookies by the sheet. And it would always be good to have a fresh one if I was able to get a fresh one. But otherwise, I usually eat one during each shift, probably. Or at least take one or two home. So I'd always have, I was almost a daily cookie eater, and I have slowed down a lot over time, hallelujah. But there's times where I still would like to have a fresh baked cookie, but only one instead of five. So probably about 3, 4, 5 years ago, you probably eat about 2 or 3 cookies in one sitting and not worry about it. And then I realized over time that I'm not going to lose weight if I keep eating like I was. So I had to change my ways of eating. But it didn't help because I was, this past year, I got sick. As well as my using and then being in the mold exposure. So I don't know what was one half of it. With my eating habits, they went down the tubes. And then the seasonal depression, so I was in a pretty dark funk this past year. And then my winter time was really bad, so I want to be able to enjoy life, but do it healthy and not gain weight and not lose weight fast. But I also had gained weight from being pregnant, and then lost some weight, and then I think I gained weight again. So it's easier to do it when you're pregnant, and then, but I wanted to do it the right way without drugs either, as in weight loss. So, again with the lusting, other than lusting after a hot man or, you know, someone that, whatever you want to call it, I don't know, unless you're a man listening, then you might be lusting after a woman, which I don't want to say that it's a good thing to do. We don't want to do that. So, I pray for our eyes as well as our mouth, and as I for Yahweh to help us understand our lustful psalms. So as I come and finish what I was saying, is I have to learn not to lust after certain things, as in like shopping, buying so much of one thing, because I could buy 5 of them when I only need maybe 1. So that's another thing, is overindulging. That's part of my thing I'm learning with lusting and with also got to pray more about my dreams and sleep area. So other than that, I think I've come a long ways. I mean, where I'm at now, I'm not planning on doing anything I shouldn't be doing. And that's, again, to be taken with me when I go back out into my daily life when I'm done with the program, in-house program, that I should still continue doing what I need to do with Yahweh as my number one focus. So I'll pass it on. So I think it's Yami that's on here. So if Yami is ready, I'm ready to pass for now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yami, are you still with us? Well, hallelujah, I think we lost a Yami. Yami, are you muted? Well, hallelujah, we are going to take a break. We'll be right back after a song, and we'll see if Yami... comes back to us. Ah, hallelujah.
I had a real struggle. It fought with me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is a very, very amusing picture. Yami, I would pray that phone develops a defect.
Yeah, okay.
That it becomes extremely cooperative. Because I'm seeing these little arms come out of the side of that phone and just starting to swing at you. It's like, all right, hallelujah. Your thoughts on the reading.
Hallelujah. Oh, wow. What comes to my mind is, believe it or not, that I belong to my beloved and he desires me. And the fact that his banner over me is love. And I know, it takes imagination to see how that would fit. And all the, as a, I don't know, 5 or 6 I was, all I wanted to know was, I was seeing things and wanted to understand what, all about why it worked. And then I saw something dead. It was a bird. And someone had ran over it. And it devastated me. I asked lots of questions to people. And I didn't like the idea of death. And then somehow later I learned it wasn't Yah's plan for us to die. And that, switched things around for me. That, but I still wanted to know, as years went by, why am I here? What am I created? And then when I went into treatment in DePaul in Milwaukee, guess what my big question was? What is your will for me? I had been battered and torn through I always was seeking, but I didn't always obey the Torah. And I didn't, I did have love in my heart, but I didn't always understand that love means standing up for right. Matter of fact, I think I thought it meant submitting to evil that's done to you, because I put the husbands I married too high. I didn't stay true, not completely true, because of my weakness of my heart and wanting so much to be family. And we talked about this a while ago, and it's recently I learned that my biggie was idolatry, because I idolized the idea of being intact in a family that had the abundant life. And it was twisted for me, because of that being in the way, me not able to recognize, hey, this is the right way, and stand up for it, and submitting to the wrong direction. And yes, in life there's always that split in the road that comes when you're dealing with whatever becomes an idol to you, and you have to choose. He told the Israelites, choose this day whom you will serve. And serving man and my own idols and what I expected, because in serving the idea of being intact, past, happy family. I wanted The Father Knows Best. That was one of my favorite TV things. And I wanted that the other one were Ricky Nelson and his family was, you know, these were what my heart desired. Now, I did desire to have a right relationship with Yahweh, too. That wasn't not there. But what happened is the importance of that, you know, family dream that I had, it had to be broke down over and over for me to learn that my answer to abundant life wasn't in having that, in making that intact family become what I want it to be. You know, Yah gave me all the things that I asked him, because I asked him for 5 children. A matter of fact, my first child was my first husband, was his only child, because that's all he could. I prayed for a child. And he gave me what I prayed for, but he was never able to have any of other children but the one. And so it was just evident Yah was giving me the things, even though I was going about it the wrong way. So the study, the applying of the Torah was my error, and today I pray that whatever comes, you know, to stop and block me, because it's dealing with work and it's dealing with me being a good image. Me being by the world accused and abused and cast aside, and then Yah winning in court that case, so that I was good, and then the devil only trying again to come back and to put my name to shame, and finding out that now that, you know, it's not going to work. It's not going to prosper, the devil. And I didn't even need to have tears about it. It's just the devil's work. When you're doing your best in a job situation and the enemy causes accusations and wrong things, you know, you to be kicked out, that's the devil's work. And yeah, I'm tired of the devil's work. So by the blood of Yeshua, we're cleansed. And he sees the heart. That's really an important thing. Where's our heart? Where our understanding may not be clear. We're looking at it and not seeing it rightly, but he will keep us for his name's sake and get us past every problem, anything. I'm just feeling we have the blood to cleanse us and to protect us from the assault of the enemy. And it is true when he said in Zephaniah, everywhere your name's been put to shame, I'll make it a praise. He will do that. And we will shine forth his nature in each situation, but it seems at the time when you're in the situation that you fail. But guess what? If your heart holds on, that's what Yah's looking at. And we hold on to Yah, and we hold on to his character, and the Ruach, who will not lead us incorrectly. And we just be doers. It's all going to come out in the wash. The dirt's all going to be cleaned off. And we will be white as snow. Because he said, though your sins be red like crimson, I'll make them white as snow. When will he do that? I think when we seek him with our whole heart, when we are completely submitted and do what the Ruach leads and what the Torah says, no matter what the circumstances. He's our champion. Hallelujah.
Everywhere we go, music for the people, making music for the people. Light shine bright everywhere we go.
Amen. And I'll say pass.
Thanks, Yami. I appreciate that testimony. Hallelujah.
I want to magnify your light. I want to reflect the sun. Cut like precious diamonds. With colors by the millions. This is the only world we know. For now, this rental's our home. If we gon' be a reflection, gotta make this dirt rock glow.
Just so you know.
Light shines bright everywhere we go. Music for the people to illuminate the show. Light shines bright everywhere we go. Music for the people making music for the people. Light shines bright everywhere we go. Music for the people to illuminate the show.
In the city might be more than pretty pretty. That freaky shine might be more than meets the eye. Anytime you see the sparkle in the dark, you might look deeper, deeper, deeper. It might be more than simply fear. Yo, that smile might be joy that's connected to the spirit. The spirit might be contagious. If you dare, you dare come near it. I remember, can't forget. Peace that you can't second guess. Sparkle as the light reflects. We write and pay it forward checks.
Light shine bright everywhere we go. Music for the people to illuminate the show. Light shine bright everywhere we go. Music for the people making music for the people. Light shine bright everywhere we go. Music for the people to illuminate the show. Light shine bright everywhere we go. Music for the people, Jesus, music everywhere.
Thank you.
Light Shine Bright. We want to thank you for joining us on RIP 2.0 Rock Reflections tonight. We are going to take a look at JFTNA for what's going to be a really, really, really uncomfortable step subject for some of us. I won't go into detail. I already did. So I'm not trying to obscure anything or cover anything up. You'll get the point. So JFTNA, May 17th, 2022. Defects, page 143. We are entirely ready to have Elohim remove all these defects of character. After taking the fifth step, many of us spend some time considering the quote-unquote exact nature of our wrongs and the part they played in making us who we were. What would our lives be like without, say, our arrogance? Sure, arrogance had kept us apart from our fellows, preventing us from enjoying and learning from them, but arrogance had also served us well, propping up our ego in the face of critically low self-esteem. What advantage would be gained if our arrogance were removed? And what support would we be left with? With arrogance gone, we would be one step closer to being restored to our proper place among others. We would become capable of appreciating their company and their wisdom and their challenges as their equals. Our support and guidance would come, if we choose, from the care offered us by our Elohim. Low self-esteem would cease to be an issue. One by one, we examine our character defects this way and found them all defective after all. That's why they're called defects. And we were entirely ready to have Yahweh remove them all. Yes. Just for today, I will thoroughly consider all my defects of character to discover whether I am ready to have the Elohim remove them. Hallelujah. Yes, I removed of my understanding out of there, but that's okay, because this is DNA book. It's not scripture. So, hallelujah. With that, we are going to pass it over to Marissa.
I can't remember
the name.
Hallelujah. Yes, and that is a very good reading today for the scripture and then for our step five. As definitely something that I'm looking going to say, just the outlook into it, looking into it with my next area in my recovery, which we will actually we're learning about every day as I am reminded of some of them, so that Yahweh can help remove some of them, and he is still working on them with me and through me. We give them all to him tonight. He helps recognize our defects and help us remove them. And I pray for that for us tonight. And I'm going to end for that as well as praying about our defects. We lay it at the foot of Yeshua. And then I can end with chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, whatever prayer. I think so. Rejoice in Yahweh always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your humility be known to all men. A master is at hand. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and by petition, with thanksgiving, and that your request be made known to Elohim. Hallelujah. And the peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Messiah Yeshua. Finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever pure, whatever lovely, whatever of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think on these things. And what things you have learned and received and heard and sought in me, practice these things, and the Elohim of Shalom will be with you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Yahweh, for tonight, and we'll have to end the prayer.
Excuse me. Hallelujah. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us for RIP 2.0 Ruach Reflections tonight. It has been an honor and a privilege to serve you. And we just want to let you know that we will be back mañana, tomorrow, at 6:27 Central, 7:27 Eastern, and 4:27 Mountain and Pacific. Until then, Baruch Atah, hallelujah, go with Yah, Shalom. We'll send you out with a good one. This is, I don't know yet, broadcaster's not up. This is Toby Mac. See the light.
Be too far, and I meant that from the heart. I see the mountain getting high, I see it stacking up against you. I always said you were a fighter, but you got it short. You got me.
we gon' see the light.